Some very interesting texts this Sunday, as always. There's usually a couple in there that really have something going for them. I occasionally think it's time to retire this Bible. It's in a version that I think is okay, but it's not as good as some of the other ones. It's not the one I use to study with, which is usually the NRSV. It's not the one that we read from in the New Testament, which is the New Living Translation, which I really like. But it's got so much stuff in it that I've added that I just can't bring myself to not carry it around. For example, on the page spread that includes the Corinthians reading, it says, or I wrote, it really isn't about food, is it? It really isn't about idols either. I thought, well, that's an interesting insight, and I don't know if we're going to talk about that a lot, because we're talking about rules or freedom. And obviously that comes to a certain extent from the Corinthian reading, where Paul is talking about freedom and rules, if you will, where people create rules for themselves, often to save themselves from difficulty. And if we want to look at it that way, we have the rule of, I will not eat food offered to idols. Now, this gave me a bit of a struggle when I first encountered it in a meaningful way. Like, what do you mean, food offered to idols? Well, and then I went to college and learned a whole bunch of things, not least of which is the way it worked often, that food that was offered to idols was then put into the marketplace. Because unless you gave one of those offerings where it was burned up entirely, which was unusual, we see it in the Old Testament every once in a while, people of Israel were told to burn this thing entirely, but on the whole, the offering was made, and then there's this stuff left over. Well, the priests can only eat so much, and so the rest of it went into the marketplace. And so what you ended up with was food in the marketplace looking absolutely identical, because it's not labeled with offered to whoever. It's just food. And so people were concerned that by eating this food that had been offered to an idol, they were therefore giving in to idol worship. And Paul wants people to realize two things. First of all, that there's nothing wrong with deciding to not eat food offered to idols, if that's what it is. Now, he puts it in terms of weakness and strength or ignorance and superior knowledge, but he doesn't condemn the people who don't eat meat offered to idols. He just says, no, that's who you are. But people who do know better need to limit their freedom to not cause problems on the other end. Because the question mark at the end of rules or freedom is answered with the simple answer, of course, of yes to both of them. We need rules. Societies and cultures do not function without rules. How many times have you been just a little irritated when someone doesn't understand the rules of a four-way or an all-way stop? Or a stop sign at all, for that matter, I suppose. But we need these rules. They keep us safe. We all agree that a red octagon means stop. There's nothing intrinsic about it. We've just decided that's what it is. And so we stop, and everybody is safer. But then the other question comes, do we always need to follow the rules? Well, that gets a little bit trickier, doesn't it? Here, Paul is telling people who don't need to follow someone else's decision to abide by that decision, even though they don't have to. It doesn't make any difference to them. The people who don't think idols are anything other than, at best, inferior statues, they can eat whatever they want. And Paul's saying, yes, you can, but you need to limit yourself here for these other people. Don't tell them to break this decision they've made, to break this rule that they have put to themselves. But is there ever a time to break rules? Well, Jesus breaks rules. Jesus broke rules fairly often. And in our Mark reading, he did another one. Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, which the people who enforced and interpreted the rules had decided was breaking that rule, breaking that law. So, well, then we say, well, that's Jesus. Jesus is different than us. And, of course, Jesus being fully human and fully divine in that mystical arrangement we'll never fully understand. What about us? Do we ever get around the breaking a rule? Well, it was a few years ago, 27 and a half, more or less, that I broke a number of rules very early in the morning in Regina, involving speeding and such. Or no, that was only 17 years ago. 17 and a half, because the twins were with me. They still talk about that as the ride of their lives. 5 a.m., labor happens. I'm not qualified to deliver a baby. And honestly, I don't want to unless I absolutely have to. So we need to get to the hospital quickly, and we did. Yes, I broke some rules. Would I do it again? Yes. Was I unsafe? No, it was 5 a.m. There's hardly anybody on the roads. Would many other people break those same rules? Yes, they would. And would I condemn them for doing it? Well, no, because there are bigger things sometimes in those rules. And when somebody's about to have a baby and you don't want them to have the baby in a car any more than they do, you get them to the hospital as soon as possible. If someone's injured in your car and you're driving them to the hospital, you get there as quickly as you possibly can without causing another accident. That's just sensible. That's doing what needs to be done. There is a hierarchy of rules, if you will, and the rule of saving a life is more important than the rule represented by the red octagon. You might get a ticket for it, but you won't get blame for it. Now, one of my brothers got the most annoying ticket he'd ever gotten. He's driving in Edmonton, and a bicycle came shooting out of an alley, and he avoided the bicycle by yanking his wheel over, and it was okay. And he got a ticket for an illegal lane change from a policeman behind him. And he said, well, what was I supposed to do, hit the bicycle? And he said, well, no, of course not. But you still made an illegal lane change. Did the policeman say, you know, you're a terrible human for this? No, he just said, these are the rules, I'm enforcing them. You probably did a good thing by not running over the bicycle. Did Jesus do a good thing when he healed on the Sabbath, and this and in all the other times that we read about Jesus healing on the Sabbath? Of course, he did. Because knowing what needs to be done is every bit as important as knowing what the rules say is possible and should be done. And most of the time, the vast majority of the time, these two are completely incongruence. Every other time I've driven faster than the speed limit, and I have, because I just have, it's one of those things, sometimes by accident, sometimes on purpose, every single time, and when I have got the occasional ticket, I've always deserved them. And I've never said, no, this doesn't apply to me, because once I drove fast to get, you know, a baby born in a hospital, because they're not connected. And we need to understand that the difference between following the rules in a slavish manner and following the rules because that's what we do almost all of the time are different. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and these people who were always after Jesus for breaking a particular rule by doing something of superior value to the human cause and to God's love for humanity and for all of creation, we're missing the point. The point of the rule is to preserve goodness for people. The point of a stop sign is to keep us safe. Red lights keep us safe. Speed limits keep us safe. All of these things. And that's only driving. There are all these other laws that we have that keep us safe and allow our culture to function. Sure, some of them are foolish and some of them need to be changed. But on the whole, we're law-abiding people because it makes for a better society and a better culture. But what do we do when the rules, when the laws are opposed to the things of God? It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does. All those people who were willing to risk extraordinary punishment by concealing people from their oppressors. And obviously we think most often of the Holocaust, and we think of that time and those 12 years and Europe and the difficulties there for our Jewish siblings. But people have been hiding other human beings from the oppressors forever. We see it in the Old Testament. Elijah thought he was the only one. No, there are others. They're hidden, breaking the rules, breaking the law. In the same way that Jesus was willing to break this law, he didn't break it frivolously, and he didn't break it just to pull the nose of the Pharisees. I don't know if that was an additional benefit for Jesus or not. Often it is for some of us. We kind of like that idea of making fun of authority and things. I don't think Jesus had anything like that in mind. But Jesus was looking at what is more important, and where later on in Scripture we see that human beings aren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for human beings. The laws in the Old Testament were intended for human beings. The laws that Jesus talks about in the New Testament, the only two that matter, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, are intended to let everything work as well as possible. Because when you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't steal their stuff. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't yell at them because they drive in a way that you wish they wouldn't. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't engage in hate speech. You don't post things online anonymously that are hurtful. We do these things because of this law of love that's upon us, that we don't keep with perfection, but we work really hard to. And every time, we love our neighbor as ourselves. Every time we love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind, we are obeying the ultimate rule, if you will, the ultimate law. And if sometimes that brings us in conflict with a current culture's laws or a current culture's even expectations, it's okay. Because it's better to do the right thing than the wrong thing. It's better to preserve life than take it. It's better to heal than to ignore. All of these things that Jesus shows us over and over and over again, that Paul reiterates. Like, why is Paul telling people don't eat meat even though you know you can? It's because how is loving somebody else, eating something in front of them that makes them uncomfortable or makes them worry or makes them sad for you or whatever else it might be? All through Scripture, but especially in the Gospels, we see that the purpose of law, of rules, is that we might flourish as human beings, fallen human beings to be sure, in a culture that has collisions, that has interactions, not all of which work out exactly the way we want them to. And when we do that, we don't have to choose between rules or freedom, because what we're choosing is love, which transcends them both. Jesus says, all that matters is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.